Thank you for joining our conversation with an attorney today. Our friend, attorney Alex Adams out of Portland, Oregon, is coming to share with us some more information that you can consider when thinking about your finances and if bankruptcy is the way for you. And let me throw this into, not because I'm an attorney, I haven't become an attorney since having them on my show, but what I have learned to do is to be a good listener, to always keep my pen and paper out, and to see what other options they offer. And so, like attorney Alex has said before, he started his firm to help people. I started my show to help people. So we're bringing those two things together to let you know, you may not even know you need this. And that is the thing that I really want to drive home before you say, oh, Catherine, this isn't the thing for me. I don't need bankruptcy because bankruptcy sounds so bad and so absolute. But I have to tell you, it's not. It's a way to reset. And that's only because that's what I've learned from my friend, attorney Alex Adams. He's going to join us, and it's getting close to the end of the year. And I know that there are emotional battles that we go through, and it could be dealing with your finances. It could be dealing with, you know, your loved ones. It could be dealing with anything. But finances seem to rain on my parade if they're just not how I want them to be or need them to be. So what's the best thing to do is to be proactive. Welcome into the conversation, Attorney Adams. How are you?
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Kevin?
I'm doing good, and I know you're going to make me feel lots better because I feel smarter after I'm done talking to you, and I don't feel defeated because I know that there is a way out. I may not want to be here, but there is a way through this. So we were discussing before we got started today about people and their emotions when it comes to finances and if they have to file bankruptcy and come talk to you and what that's like. So I want to carry that conversation on and let the This Needs to Be Said audience in on it.
Yeah, you know, I there's a lot of emotions that go into bankruptcy. There's, you know, financial problems lead to pride because, you know, this is a pretty prideful country. Nobody wants to admit they're having financial problems, and certainly nobody wants to talk about the roots of the problems, whether they're self-imposed, maybe their upbringing, maybe just bad luck. These are really hard conversations, and what I found, certainly with the emotions, certainly with the emotional side of bankruptcy, that it creates something I've learned to call ostriching over the years, where you just ignore it. And although, you know, perhaps for a few days that's okay, I've had lots of clients that have been ignoring financial issues for a lot of years, and they don't get better. Nothing gets better until you deal with it head on. And, in most cases, once you deal with it head on, it's a different problem than you may think it is. So I see a lot of people that have depression issues because they don't, they think their failure as a provider or where, you know, other areas in their life tied to their finances. And
yeah, that's tough.
It's a tough one. And, you know, there's certainly, the founding fathers of our country knew this, and they put it in the Constitution that bankruptcy is a right. And why is it a right? Because we don't want everybody in our country just to not be able to move forward with their lives financially. We want people out there, and certainly in our country, on the consumer side, spending money and doing the things that needs to be done to raise families and have good lives. So when no action is happening and there's no hope, it's pretty frustrating, for my clients. And what I like to see, what's interesting for me to see is how fast people, we can turn that light on and say, look, there is some hope. There's a way to get you through this. Bankruptcy is on a really big scale. It's math related. The numbers are negative now. Is there a way to get them positive? And oftentimes there is. Oftentimes it's a lot less painful than my clients think it is. Usually, I'm sure a lot of other bankruptcy attorneys will tell you this, the hardest part about bankruptcy is to have the clients pick up the phone and ask for help, because if they ask for help, the help is much more straightforward and practical than a lot of people may think it is. And, you know, I'm privileged to find a place in the law that I get to help a lot of people in a lot of different scenarios get moving on finances.
You know what I wonder, and this is just a consumer question, do you find that more men or more women are nervous about coming to you? And I ask this question because my fiance fusses about money, even when I said, if there's no smoke, there's nothing to worry about. Who are like, why are we spending this amount of money on this? You know, I'm like, oh, my gosh. You know, so he's terrified about us spending money on things, and it's not thing to worry about. I'm voting that more men are scared to come to you than women. That's why.
You know,
help me settle an argument.
Well, I don't know the answer to that. I've never really looked at those types of matrices, but so I got to get off that real quick. But no,
I see you ran.
No, but what I do notice is that you know, in a big picture, you know, certainly guys that are head of household have a much harder time coming to the fact that they need some help with finances. I think it's instilled in our country for just generations that, you know, in certain types of households, if you're the head of household, you're supposed to go to work and make it all work and everything's fine. And, you know, mm-hmm. a lot of the times everything's not fine. There needs to be some adjustments or there needs to be some tweaks. And I certainly see that's a tougher place for people to come into. I certainly see, you know, the older generation, you know, people in their 60s that mm-hmm. that I deal with, maybe older, say, I don't understand. I've done everything right. I've paid taxes,
yeah.
I've never been late, I've got no criminal record, but here I am. I don't understand it. What's wrong with the system? And that's
yeah.
oftentimes a heartbreaking conversation to have. But when we have that conversation, there's generally hope to get through it. You know, if it's medical bills or just, you know, I have clients with 20-year credit card balance, they've been paying minimum payments for 20 years, it's still not paid off. These
mm-hmm.
are real problems that real people have.
You find yourself against the wall, and perfect, because that's my mom and my fiance's mom's area, 60 and 70 years old, and their belief was get a good job, you work hard, you'll be able to make it. And make it, to me, sounds like surviving, just barely getting by. But if I think back to my childhood, I had a pretty good childhood, and I didn't know that we were poor. And there's some things in my adult life that I'm thinking no one ever did that. Like, I've never lived in a place and didn't have a washing machine and dryer of my own. People going to the laundromat, I'm like, why do you put up with that? Because in my world, you always had that item, you know. And my fiance's world, he was like, no, you get your quarters and you go to the laundromat. I was like, why would you do that? You already have to go to the grocery store and lug that stuff home, you know. Now they have the delivery. But, you know, it's not a big divide between he and I, but it's different. It's a different thought process. So his mom and my mom come from a world of work hard, you stay on one job, you retire from that job, and everything should be fine. And if they are to find themselves in a financial situation, I don't even like having a conversation with them, you know, because it's uncomfortable, because they're angry, they're disappointed. What did I do wrong? And, you know, we spend a lot of time beating ourselves up because I didn't do anything wrong. Why am I here? This is for people who have, you know, messed up. And that's not the case. I learned from speaking with you over time that it's not necessarily that you did anything wrong. Healthy people get sick with serious things all the time. Good people have bad things happen to them all the time. It's just life. And that's hard to swallow when you've behaved. That is the word I'm looking for. I've done right. I've been good, and this happened to me. So we finally pick up the phone, and I understand the initial conversation with you doesn't cost me a thing. I talk with you about my specific issue because it's not a one-size-fits-all. However, financial issues can happen to anyone, right? So once I get over myself and come talk to you, you can now give me, you know, what are my options? What does it really look like? And bankruptcy isn't just black and white bankruptcy. I think you've talked to me about evaluating a person's situation. Do they need debt consolidation, or do they need bankruptcy, or, you know, something else? So I'm just regurgitating what you shared with me in the conversations that I've had with other family members and just friends. But at any time, interrupt me, because you are the expert.
Well, you know, I think you're right. You know, people come to financial problems from different pain points. What's painful for you might not be painful for me, may not be painful
mm-hmm.
for your fiance, but
mm-hmm.
for other people, it's too much. You know, people always come in to me and say, well, do I have enough debt to file bankruptcy? And, I mean,
yeah.
and that's
okay.
they, you know, that's a question for my clients to answer. You know, some,
mm-hmm.
you know, if you have $200 of debt, bankruptcy is not your forte, but if you've got, mm-hmm. you know, substantial medical debt, credit card debt, you know, it's different for everybody. Clients that make,
yeah.
clients that have $300,000 of debt, but have the ability to pay it may not have an issue. Clients that have $30,000 and just aren't making it, maybe that is a case.
Mm-hmm.
It's right. very individually basis, which is why I don't charge for my initial consults. I want to make sure that it even makes sense to hire me, and I want to make sure that I'm comfortable with my clients and that I can do a good job for them. And certainly that's, you know, that's part of my initial evaluation. I'm not comfortable with the cookie cutter type scenario. I know, you know, that there may be some people out there that do that. I like to make sure that my clients have all the options, whether it's inside of bankruptcy, outside of bankruptcy, whatever options are out there. I think that's real important to discuss up front, and I think that that's an important part of what I do as a bankruptcy attorney.
And the possibility of someone may not – the possibility of someone not needing what you're offering is only best done if they talk with you, because I can talk with them over the water cooler, and that's not really going to give them not legal advice, nothing they can take and, you know, home and say, okay, this is how I know for sure I'm okay or I'm not okay, and these are the next steps. And I know in my life, personally, when I don't know the next step, it does make me uneasy. So I'm pretty sure there are other people that feel the same way. I'm not sure. Yes, I listen to you guys talk, and I'm not sure. Well, that's when they get an opportunity to contact you. What were you about to say?
Well, I think that's right. And I think one of the really neat things I get to do as an attorney is I have really candid, really, you know, open conversations with my clients
mm-hmm.
on my initial contact, because it's all privileged. It never leaves the office, but I get to hear the real deal. And to the
mm-hmm.
extent my clients are open to having that conversation, that's where the good results come from. If, you know, if you hide stuff from your attorney, the attorney can't do the job for you, and that's no different in my case. But I'm certainly lucky to have those conversations. And generally, you know, in an hour, half hour, hour long conversation, you know, we both figure out if it makes sense for a bankruptcy or not,
mm-hmm.
and whether we want to, you know, whether they want to hire me and whether I want to accept the case. And then we figure out how to make it work for the client if it's something they're going to move forward with.
Mm-hmm. Now our time is just about up, but before we go, it went fast, didn't it?
Good.
Seemed like when we get warmed up, I'm ready, right? Well, what I do want to make sure before we go is to tell people how to get in touch with you outside of this discussion, but also just a couple of things that might be surprising to the consumer that could possibly be included in a bankruptcy. I'm in trouble, and I'm not sure if this fill-in-the-blank could be included.
I think, first of all, you can reach me at my website, PortlandBK, PortlandBK.com. I accept cases in Oregon and Washington. That's probably the best way to reach me. You know, a couple of things I found surprising in bankruptcy is there's a certain kind of bankruptcy that can eliminate traffic tickets and get licenses
mm.
reinstated. So I've had a number of cases where, you know, people have had a checkered past and have pulled themselves together, but they can't get a license because they have maybe $10,000 of traffic tickets. And if
mm.
the only thing that is holding up your license is $10,000 of traffic tickets, bankruptcy can solve that in a lot of cases, which is oftentimes very surprising to people.
That is surprising.
The filing of a bankruptcy in general stops garnishments, so wage garnishments and bank garnishments stop with bankruptcy. And bankruptcy
mm-hmm.
also is a very powerful way to deal with and perhaps pay tax debt in a lot of situations that people would say, well, you can deal with that. Well, not necessarily all taxes, but oftentimes more tax resolution than you may expect in a legal proceeding for bankruptcy can resolve taxes. So I think that's some fun stuff.
Those are three surprise. Yeah, because the only thing, honestly, I was thinking I have a house and a car I can't afford. Like, my list was small. I'm like, okay, I don't need you for that. But then there are other things for sure. And even if there are things he did not mention and you said, well, he didn't mention this, I'm not sure, give him a call, check out his website, and find out if his help is for you. Attorney Adams, thank you. Our time went too fast, as always. But until next time, you have a super day, and thank you for stopping by. This needs to be said.
You got it. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.